Hello everyone and welcome to the Holistic Podcast, where we speak about everything that encompasses every pillar of our health and well-being. The physical, mental, emotional, spiritual and energetic body, and everything in between. I'm your host, Tawna Woods, holistic coach, personal trainer and yin yoga teacher, passionately sharing knowledge, teachings with myself and industry experts to help support you in gathering tools to empower you to live your best life. Hello and welcome to the Holistic Podcast. Today on the show, I'm welcoming my very good friend, Kate Perriam, for those of you that recognize her name from Wanaka, and soon to be Kate Cooper. It's so good to have you and to have yarn to you today. So welcome. So I met Kate about 16 years ago now, when I first, a few years after I moved to Wanaka, and I had my daughter, Indy, and she was just a wee baby, and Kate and I connected as she was studying for her health science degree in Chinese medicine and acupuncture. So she gave me her loving support when I was going through some sleep issues and a few other nervous system issues, I'd say. So that's when I got my first taste of Chinese medicine and what that actually was. I had no idea what that modality was, and it really gave me profound results at that time. So it really started to open my eyes up to a different type of medicine, which was really amazing. So after you've completed your study, you opened up the acupuncture room here in Wanaka, which you had for how many years did you have that for, Kate? 10 years.
And then, I know, it was...
Oh, wow.
I think it was coming up to a 10th year, and then I sold it on to another incredible acupuncturist because I decided to move up north. So do you want me to let you know about what happened after that clinic?
So you were here for 10 years and then you decided to pass it on to Jonathan, who is an incredible practitioner. I've seen him and taken Indy along to him as well. And so now, so you went to Waihee, but then you're now in Christchurch in Sumner, where you've started Earth Wellness. And I would just love to know how you got from Wanaka with your really successful practice here to starting Earth Wellness, and what's been the journey from there to now?
Is that from back then in my clinic in Wanaka, I actually now practice nearly completely differently than I did in Wanaka. And it wasn't anything to do with practicing Chinese medicine. I had a very successful clinic in Wanaka. I had a 3-month wait list. Everyone seemed pretty happy. But for me, I always knew there was more I could learn and there was more I could do. That confirmation from having a busy clinical practice wasn't enough for me. I'm always searching, always learning for more to get better at what I do. So after those years in Wanaka, I was really burned out. I did have a lack of boundaries with saying no to people. I would just take on more and more. I also had another clinic in Alex at that time and a lot of stress in my personal life at that time. And I just got to a point where I had to leave the whole area and just have some time out and some healing. So I went to Waihee Beach, which is an incredible place. It's at the bottom of the Coromandel and time just stops. And myself and husband had 2 kids. During this time, it was the COVID pandemic time. But also what happened in this time was I had an attack where I lost feeling to my legs during my pregnancy. I'd actually had an attack like this before in Wanaka. It was coming up to Christmas and I was absolutely ruined in energy, but I was pushing through to my last week and I woke up in the morning and I couldn't feel my feet. So I got out of bed anyway, because it's the week before Christmas, I've got to do it. And then as I got to work, I couldn't feel below my waist, and I was wobbling as I walked into Water Collects Health Centre. And I turned right at the door and went straight into the doctor's, and then from the doctor's straight red flag to Dunedin Hospital Neurology Ward. So after not getting too many answers from that event, it happened again when I was in Waihi Beach pregnant. And after MRIs and four different neurologists looking at my case, I got diagnosed with MS, multiple sclerosis. I had lesions on my spinal cord in three different places, and those lesions on my spinal cord were stopping any motor communication to my legs. So I left there and the hospital eventually, and continued in an attacked state for 8 months while I was pregnant. So it was very limiting and pretty traumatizing, really. But I did go into a very zen space, because I've learned over the years as a practitioner, as soon as you get given something, this is opportunity to figure something else out. It's a lesson. And the more that you go through in life personally, the more you can bring that into your clinical practice to understand how people are feeling in these instances. So even though I was waiting for my results, wondering if it was could be a tumor on the brain or anything, you know, very serious, I was in a zen state because I knew I was given this for a reason. And at this point in time, I was practicing, obviously, Chinese medicine, and I was practicing another therapy called NIS, stands for Neurological Integration System. And this is utilizing what we know about neuroscience anatomy and then using that to test neural pathways to see whether there are any defaults along the nerve roots or whether they are communications happening well. So I was practicing this a lot at this time as well. And what I did in my MS attack state is I pushed Eastern medicine as far as I could. I pushed NIS as far as I could, and I still sat in the space of being in an attacked state. And I remember clearly having enough of it, and I went for a walk, which I could hardly walk, so it was more like a shuffle. And I just said to my body, look, you're the one that's diseased, you're the one that fixes it. Why don't you just tell me where it is and what's going on with my body? And before I knew it, it was showing me visuals of the lesions on my spinal cord, and it was showing me that they were wounds from physical injury. And I did spend a lot of my younger years snowboarding and having head injuries and coming off rails and slamming onto my back, and it all just made complete sense. But there was a conflict here, because in the neurology ward, I tried to tell them, look, I have a very strong feeling that this is attached to my head injuries and my spine injuries from snowboarding. And they said, no, that doesn't fit their checklist. No, physical weight, physical injury doesn't fit within the MS. But I knew that it did. So I had a choice then to either listen to them, or I had a choice to listen to my body. And I chose not listening to them, and I chose listening to my body. And it showed me exactly what it was. And because I did have the skills in Chinese medicine and NIS, I went straight to healing the neural pathways around these lesions and connected my body into them. And then just like the flick of a switch, I went from shuffling along the track and I just started running. I'm not even kidding you. And it was instant. And the reason it was instant is because I was working within the nervous system. And the nervous system is all around electrical impulses coming from your brain, from your central nervous system, out into your peripheral, to your periphery. So out into your legs, out into your arms. And it was as quick as electricity is. And that's why it was an instant result. And I kept running. And I was like, I'm just going to keep running until normally what happens is my motor starts to slow up like a wind up toy and then stop. But I just kept running and running, and I ran 3K, and then I ran all the way home because I was so excited that I could move my body. And it was that moment that changed my entire practice now. The medical, intuitive, the psychic medium part of me, the intuition part of me absolutely exploded, and I fed it and I learned it and I practiced it. And now that is a massive part of my practice.
Oh, that gives me shivers. Like, it's amazing. It really does. Like, all over my body. It's such an incredible, profound thing to me. And there's a lot that resonates even with what you've said around intuition and trusting your body and trusting yourself. And that's been such a huge message of mine from my past experiences for so many years of denying the body's innate wisdom and what it's speaking. And when I've denied it, then how that's been so detrimental to my health. Like, I've spoken other podcasts about my journey to where I am now and what that entailed, and a lot of the burnout and a lot of the things that have happened and the physical symptoms that were manifestations of ignoring what the body was saying led me to learning about really honing in and teaching people how to listen. Because if you don't, then it can, you know, what can happen as a result of not listening. And so, yeah, learning to trust yourself again and trust your inner knowing rather than what someone else external is saying.
If I had chosen the other route and I had listened to the neurologist and said, no, it's not that, but here's the medication and we're not going to find out what the root cause is, I would still be limited and in the same position because I didn't listen to myself. I just sat there on medication instead. And although medication is helpful in these cases to slow down lesions, that root cause, those wounds, those physical injury would have still been sitting there, and it still would have been inflaming my spine at some level. So
I think that's where I've come into from my experience as well, come in the medical system with different things that I've had, it's been not getting to the absolute root. And we know that we've got to get to the root to heal the actual symptom. It doesn't just appear, right? So yeah, that's a whole nother conversation. But, and this all ties in because, so you had just last week announced or put your new Instagram page online. And so that was such an exciting thing for me to see, because I know that you've not enjoyed speaking on camera and doing all these things over the years. And I've always been like, come on, you've got to share your knowledge and what you do, because it's amazing. Like, people, you've got the power to heal so many people, and you know that you do, but it's just having that, you know, that using online internet to get everything out there, which is a fantastic tool, right? And so I listened to what you'd said, and I already knew, because at the time that when this was all going on, when you first had that attack, we were living together. And I remember that like it was yesterday, just before Christmas, and you went down to Dunedin and all of that. And then, so why I really wanted to get you here as well is to speak about an experience I just had last week with you. Was I've been having some symptoms on my left shin, and it happened from start of November last year. And it began with, I actually went to a Vipassana meditation retreat, and I got there, woke up the next morning, I'd had no like impact on my shin or nothing had happened. Like, I just went to sleep, woke up, had incredible swelling on my ankles and my feet. Like, I'm talking, my ankles looked like just the most insane edema. Like, my ankles were swollen up 10 times what they should be. Couldn't fit my shoes. And I had a really numb shin. And I was like, have I not, I was questioning myself going, have I knocked this? Have I, what, you know, what's happened? But I had no, I didn't do that. None of that happened. And anyway, if anyone knows or has heard of a parishioner before, you go in there and you don't speak. So you, for the 10 days, you're not speaking. So I had this symptom appear and I was freaking out because I was like, what do I do here? I can't let, like, I'm not allowed to leave. And well, I could, but you know, trying to process this thing. And I'm talking to the teachers, wondering if I've got this, if I need to go to the hospital or the doctor or whatever. Anyway, I chose to just trust the process and stay. And I, the swelling, I did some different things for swelling and I just continued on. Anyway, but the swelling did die down a bit after a few days, but the numbness remained. And I was like, surely, like, maybe it's a nerve. I don't know. Like, you know, you always try and come up with all the ideas of why it's happening. And so from that, I decided to go, I went to the doctor when I got home, came out. And there was actually a lot of fear there as well, because 3 years ago, I went to a neurologist and they found I had lesions on my brain. And I actually got an infection in my spinal cord 3 years ago as well. And that manifested in lots of different symptoms because of the inflammation in my brain. Still, that's still unknown as to why that even happened. Again, another story. And also my dad's just recently been diagnosed with Parkinson's. So because of those, and he's actually got lesions on his brain as well. So while this all freaked me out because of the numbness related to the shin, and, you know, like my GP wanted to chase it up because of the diagnosis of dad and just being really making sure they're covering all bases. Anyway, so I thought, I've got some symptoms here. I'm going to ask Kate, because why not, you know, with her success with healing herself. So, and I actually said to you, didn't I? I was like, do you do it by distance? And you're like, yeah, we can do a quick thing. And here I am just at work, like working away. And I'd actually sent through a quick video of my shin and showed the area that was numb and showed where the swelling was, because there was a bit of swelling at this point around my ankles. And so then later on, she gets back to me and she's like, so I picked up all these different things. And it just blew my mind, because everything that Kate picked up, she questioned a few things. So there was some physical stuff, but also some beliefs that I had created in my mind due to past experiences and memories. And why I absolutely, I'm so gravitated towards this stuff, because my belief from my past experiences around the body holding the score and how this can manifest in different symptoms if we suppress or we're not even aware of different emotions that are in our body that is actually causing stress on the cells over time, which can, when the body starts to speak in symptoms, it's got to a point where it's already like too far, you know, because we haven't listened or understood. And so I didn't tell Kate anything about anything. Like, I had said nothing, but you'd picked up from my body from some different experiences that had happened a few years ago and why this is manifested in what has happened. Okay, so essentially, and this was as simple as I'm at work and Kate sends me some voice messages. So obviously me and Kate are very, very dear friends, so that's all good. But, you know, this is how simple it was. It didn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need to be this big ordeal. And so it was just getting, she was getting curious and asking me the question of, have you had an experience where someone had told you that you're never going to make money with what you do in your career, was one of the things. And I was like, oh yeah, actually, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And interestingly enough, it came straight to me. And then another one was a physical injury from, it would have been when I was pregnant with my daughter and I had a flu vaccine and that caused some toxicity in my body. And I've had a lot of, actually from that point, I developed varicose veins and I had a lot of circulation issues. And the other symptoms that I shared with Kate was that I was getting a lot of edema on and off in my entire body, actually. And then my lower limbs, they're working with a lymphatic massage practitioner, is the possibility of having like a combination of lipedema and lymphedema. So that's a increase, too many fat cells in your lower limbs, essentially. And your lymphatic system's unable to process different things. So for me, it's like the upper body flows really nicely and well, and the lower body seems to have issue. And so that caused some toxicity, and with the big valves, and I'm sure Kate can explain better than I can, but the blood flow that goes from those, from below the heart into the legs, right, and the gut and things. And so that was all cleared, but the whole thing around a belief system of, you know, you're not going to make money. Someone said to me, you have to get a real job. This isn't going to serve you anything. So I forgot about that. And I just obviously subconsciously told myself after that moment, and which created a belief system in me, like, I'm not going to be able to make money with what I do. And I know in my heart that I'm very good at what I do. I know that to be very, very true. But there was a belief that was created from someone telling me that and projecting onto me that I won't make money doing it, where I was hindered. And it was this constant thought subconsciously that was running in my mind, which then stopped me from moving forward on my path. So stepping forward, so that numbness on the shin, complete numbness on the shin and the swelling was related to that. So then I said, okay, yep, everything you said, I resonate with, that's true. But I 100%, yep, no. Instantly the memories came back to me. And I said, please, can you give me some guidance on how to clear this? How do I clear the emotion? And luckily, like in the last 3 years, I've done a lot of somatic work and I've learned about tuning into the body and being able to tap in to what I'm feeling and release emotion that way. So Kate wrote out a process for me to do. And it's actually like really getting into the feeling of the emotion, of the memory, sorry. Feeling that as, and replaying it and feeling and just getting into what that, how it made me feel. And then speaking all of my truth to the person, seeing, visualizing that person, seeing how, telling them how it made me feel. And then actually pausing the memory and finding gratitude for the wisdom that I learned from that. So I actually got to a state after I'd felt that emotion in my body and releasing it and released it, I could see the growth and the learning and the understanding that I had gained from that. So I actually, by the end of that, I felt happy and I had a big smile on my face. And I was like, thank you to this person. Like, you fueled my fire. You, like, from that, from you saying that, I was like, I'm going to prove you wrong. And actually, straight after that, my first year in business was, it exploded. And it was very, very, very successful because I was like, no one can tell me I'm going to fail. You know, like, I'll prove you wrong. So I had so much gratitude because it allowed me to access my internal fire within to be strong. So there was those feelings of gratitude, which then allowed me to reprogram a belief that I'd had, that I won't make money doing what I do and these sorts of things, or I won't be successful. But I actually reprogrammed over and over that I am worthy of abundance. I am worthy of financial freedom. I am worthy of all of those things. Then the next day, the numbness of my shin had completely cleared. And I was like, what the actual, like, mind blown, but also simultaneously not, because I've had experience, like it's just, you've got to have those lived experiences to understand at an experiential level rather than logic for me. But it's like, it's just proves, you know, if we release the emotion that's stuck and that repetitive, if we're repeating a belief that we're not even aware that we're doing, how we attract certain events and situations and how it keeps us stuck and limited and bound. But if we feel it, and we change the perspective, then it's like it can absolutely change and transform your life. But there is a prime example of the body, in my mind, the body holding the score, how that manifests in symptoms if it's not felt and if it's not reprogrammed. And if we see all of us are going around with this, carrying all this shit that we don't even know that we are a lot of the time, and how it's limiting our entire life. But if we do this simple process, we could actually transform everything. And you've proved that too. So, yeah. So I'm so grateful. Like, I'm still like, what the actual, like, normally I'll shave my legs and I'm like, oh, it's creepy, I can't feel that. And now I go to do it and I'm like, oh my God. Like, I can feel it again. Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, and on that note of, like, you saying that the body holds the score for the mind, it's also the body holds the score, but the mind holds the score, the emotions hold the score, and the spiritual element holds the score as well. I've seen a client this week come in and get to the root cause of his anxiety and depression, and it's been a physical allergy to dairy. So his emotions are holding the score on behalf of his physical body's defaults. So the body's not just the holder of the mind's score. All of them are how they're connected in. It's usually there's a root cause in one, but it's being held in a form of a default in the nervous system in the other. And that's where it gets a little bit tricky for people to figure out their root causes, because the symptomology or where the default is, isn't necessarily the same plane that the root cause is sitting in. And that's why, I'll talk about it in a bit, but that's why connecting with your intuition and your body's innate intelligence is the most important part of any healing, because it knows. A practitioner that you go to, they're going to use their intellect and their learning and assumptions around patterns that they see in clinic and take a good guess, but it's your body at the end of the day that actually knows where it is. And so in Torna's example, the process of what I would go through is basically what I do is I take the skills that I've learned from myself, and then I can now apply this to other people. And so through my training in traditional modern healing, I learned how to safely and correctly tune in to someone else's body and entire information system, and I utilize that to then connect in with the person, so it can be from any distance. And my body then subs out as empathetic to that person's body. So as soon as I connect in, everything that that body is feeling, that person is feeling, just rushes into my body. And that's the first place that I observe and feel. And so Torna actually didn't get your picture of your shin before I started. And so it was firstly noting the vibration of the body, where it feels heavy, where it doesn't, and then I went to the shin, and then I found that there was no feeling in one and then there was feeling in the other one. So obviously I went to the place where there was no feeling in the one, and essentially what I'm doing is I'm using the symptom, I'm using the default to connect into that symptom. And when my focus is there and I'm really connecting into that, then it shows me the defaults that are attached to the symptom. So then the symptom will be there, and then it will tell me, I think the first one that came up was, this is in the physical plane, there's a default sitting in the abdomen, and here it is, and then it will show me. So then I know it's taking me straight to the root cause of the first pattern. And then I'll find the defaults and correct that. And essentially what I'm doing is I'm getting neurons, so I'm getting electrical impulsing to push through these defaults to regain communication there. And as soon as you get communication there, the body goes, oh, this is here, cool, I'll go clean that up. And so you're not adding anything into the body, you're working with the body, but you're helping it through its blockages. And then I would connect back in with the shin. Is it still there? Is it still not there? And it was still there. So I said, cool, show me the other patterns sitting here. And then that's when the other two emotional patterns came up. And then after that, I said, I said to the body, if we clear these two, what does the shin feel like now? And it went back to normal. So that told me that as soon as you work through those patterns, there's going to be a correction of the symptom. And therefore, then I talked to Torna and said, work through these two emotional things, these processing, and then your shin should be clear. Well, she did that night. She woke up the next morning and it was clear. So when I break it down and you see what I'm doing, it makes a lot more sense. Instead of going, she just tapped in from Christchurch and just talked to me a few times and fixed it. Like, what? That is crazy. And then that sits in, you know, the only... the saying I said heard the other day was, the only way that you can put miracle into context is if you have no understanding of the mechanisms behind that miracle. And as soon as you understand the mechanisms behind it, it's not a miracle, it's just a thing. So it's all perspective and it's all understanding what's happening underneath. And a big part of my Instagram, Kate Cooper Medical Intuition, is about teaching people to talk and to listen to themselves where all the answers are.
I love that. And so you talking about the innate, the body's innate knowing and the body's wisdom and trusting what the body is speaking. How do you find working with people that aren't connected to themselves so much? So I notice with a lot of my clients and even myself, so a big thing for me over the years has been like learning to trust myself again, where I haven't been able to, so maybe I've heard my intuition said something and then my mind will go, actually, no, that can't be right. So then I've made a different decision, which then it's been wrong, or, you know, something negative has come from that. And then with you talking about trusting the body and the intuition, like it's innate knowing, how do you work with people, or have you encountered working with people that maybe don't know how to access their intuition, or, you know, they might be a bit blocked from it? Does that affect people's ability, like, to be able to access their emotions and to actually be able to be able to feel and release them? Because the big part of the process is feeling, and well, in my experience with you, was I had to be able to connect to the memory and the emotions to feel it, to release it, right? So I had to cry and I had to just be like, look, have you got that, a bit of blockage from people if they haven't been able to do that?
Absolutely. I mean, essentially, before, every person that comes into my clinic is blocked in some way from their intuition. Otherwise, they would ask their intuition and be able to feel it. So there's varying degrees of this. There are people that know exactly what it is. They know everything about it. They do have that awareness. But then they come in because they're not sure about the next part of what to do about it. And then there's some people that come in and they've never processed emotion in their life that they're aware of. So there's what I do with people, it accommodates where they're at. You've got to accommodate where they're at. With the people, here's the difference though. The people that are very connected with themselves and their emotions, they'll come in, they'll say, it's this and I need this, and then we'll make that happen. And then they've just had a massive leap. And then they'll be at home, and then stuff will come up, and they'll be able to process it themselves. And as soon as they get to another roadblock where they're just not sure past it, they'll come back in. And the rate at which they're processing their stored emotion is so fast. So because they are essentially doing this so quickly, their personal growth is accelerating over such a short space of time. When you take that to the other end of the scale where people aren't sure how to emotionally process, they might have that one task for their whole life. They might have had grief at a young age, for example, and not known what to do with it, hidden away from it, stored it, avoid it. And they might even see out their lifetime and not process it. So it depends on how much self-growth is important to you in your life. And when it is important for some people, they're just new people. Every month, then they're different people with different perspectives.
And I even noticed, like, from you teaching me that process, like, after that next day, I did like three. I was just like, and that's been a part of who I am. And there does need to be a bit more balance there, but it's been one of my biggest challenges is balance, all or nothing Tawna. But like, just when something comes up, I'm like, oh yes, like it's an opportunity to feel and to release and to grow and evolve and expand, because it's all hindering me otherwise. It's holding me back. Why would I want to carry this heaviness that I don't need to carry? And understanding and knowing that there's freedom on the other side of feeling that quote unquote pain that we have, right? Whether it be mental, physical, emotional, generally for me or a lot of people, it's like, that's whether it's conscious or subconscious stuff we're carrying, how heavy that is.
And the thing is that you've got the wisdom after emotional processing. So you are aware of what emotional processing actually gives you. The people at the other end of the scale haven't got to that point yet. They haven't connected with how amazing they are if they do face their fears and do some processing work. So when you do realize that it's actually a positive, amazing experience, then you get addicted to it because you're like, oh, I could be better. I could be better. I could be better in terms of, of just being
the fear.
You. Like, you're just being a better you every time you drop something. So there's just purity in that, and there's clarity in your life purpose.
Yes.
And that clarity stimulates you, and then you just feel like you're really getting the most out of life instead of life getting the most.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so preaching to the choir, darling. It's I'd written down this morning about how much my energy levels and my clarity and spaciousness within my body and mind had developed since. What day was it? Was it Friday, I think? Yeah, it was Friday. Because I woke up on Saturday morning and I was like, felt like I'd been hit by an absolute bus. And I'm not thinking that's a negative thing. It's like just very tired. And I've known from the last few years of doing somatic work and different emotional releases and processes and courses and blah, 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 that when we do feel a lot and we're processing a lot, we are allowing stuff to come up to the surface, to be felt and let go of, to be released and healed, it's very tiring. And, you know, when I did some extensive somatic coaching with Verena, that I've done a podcast with her before too, it's that I had about 3 months of being a hermit because I was just so tired all the time, like that cocoon phase. But then once I had processed that emotion and let it go, the abundance of energy I had. So yesterday, Sunday, holy shit, I was just like on fire. Like I just so energized, so because I'd released the dense emotion that had been in my body for however many years, probably freaking 10 years or 15 years, I had the spaciousness within my body and my mind, because it wasn't weighed down with dense emotion, to have energy. It's actually, it's you release something, but you gain something, right? It's like that it's energy giving and it's expansive. And the motivation that's come with this. So, and I do believe it's tied in with that belief system that was limiting me of not being able to walk forward on my path, for example, right? But funnily enough, like that Sunday, I remember I messaged you being like, I'm ready, let's do a podcast right now. Like I haven't done one since August because I've been, I don't know, obviously at capacity with different things and focusing on other things. But actually I see it as I was carrying so much shit that I was unaware of that was holding me back and dropping my motivation. But now that that's cleared, I'm like, I know where I'm going. My purpose is clear and I know what I need to do and I want to take action. I have the motivation. I have the drive. I'm inspired. I'm like, let's fucking go. Like, but it's amazing to see that. And even like yesterday, and it sounds hectic, but it wasn't, but like went for a walk and then I went for some skates because I love skating. It gives me so much joy. And then I was like, I'm going to go to the skate park and I'm just going to try some shit. Like I'd never normally do that. Like normally I'd be like, I'm scared. People might judge me or whatever, not have the energy, but I was just like, I am just, let's do it. Like just feeling so good. And so I'm very much, the people that know me know I'm very much have been in my past, most of my life, an overthinker. And I do believe a lot of that is a trauma response to trying to keep myself safe and protect myself and different experiences growing up. But it's been such a detriment to me, right? So, but then noticing after working through some different processes when things were coming up for me over the weekend and releasing it, understanding that they were all linked and due to past experiences that I'd had that were still stuck in my body that were, I was projecting onto present things, right, which are completely separate to that initial thing that gave me some stress. But now that that's all cleared, it's like the overthinking's gone. I'm not having these anxious loops in my mind creating stories of like, this must be happening. Like that's, there's this peace and there's this groundedness within myself where I'm like, it's holy shit. Like it is liberating, isn't it? And it's energizing.
Is happiness. Yeah. It's excitement is happiness. And
exactly.
And so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Honestly, even last night I was voice messaging a friend and I was going, oh my gosh, I am so happy. I was just ranting and raving, but like so much joy. And all I did, and it doesn't have to sound like you said to me, this doesn't have to sound or be complicated. It's very simple. It's like feeling to release for the freedom and the freedom on the other side of quote unquote pain, or what I would have perceived what I don't want to feel or face because it might be scary or hard, but actually what's worse to me is carrying something, but it's actually just a story I'd created around it being hard, or I put myself through turmoil if I face this thing.
Usually it is simple. It's simple and the processes are simple, but where it gets complicated and why so many people are stuck is that they're lacking the ability to find the root causes that directly relate to the symptoms. And that's where you unlock it. So you see, like your body, Tawna, will be full of other emotional defaults, like from your entire past history. And so you can play a guessing game and do that process until you get to one that happens to unlock a symptom. Or you do it the other way. You go in via the symptom and say, hey, what defaults are behind this? And that's why it can only be like a small amount, like three patterns. That probably took me like 10 minutes to do. Like, it was not much to do, and yet it's unlocked. And it's because you're getting to the root cause. And it's the same with acupuncture. You can put 15 needles in points on someone and have no effect. And you could put one point in the exact right place that body needs, and it will unlock anything. And so it's all about the root cause. And to get to the root cause, you have to be able to communicate to your body well. And so that's why a big part of my Instagram and my public arena I'm coming into is all about teaching people about their intuition and how to come back to themselves, how to communicate to themselves effectively, and then start utilizing this skill. And once you've nailed it in yourself, bringing it into your clinical practice if you're a practitioner, or bringing it into your workplace if you, whatever workplace you're in.
All right, so next question. I'd love to know about your thoughts on the nervous system and how regulated someone needs to be able to handle feeling. So certainly in the last couple of years, I've only just been learning about the nervous system. I just didn't know about it at all. And our ability to be able to regulate ourselves or not. And in our society, in my experience, I've found that we've been accustomed to suppress and to not feel emotion, like it's not good or not right or whatever. And unlearning that, and in my experience, if I hadn't have done nervous system work, going through certain experiences I have in my life, I don't think I would have been able to handle feeling the emotion. So do you come into roadblocks with that, or the fear around feeling, or it being too overwhelming, and the sensitivity of a nervous system?
What you might be referring to is like the capacity. Like, what capacity does that person have?
Exactly.
Because if that person is already completely tapped out, then there's no capacity to bring more triggering emotions into it. So to put this into a bit more of a simple understanding, there's the conscious mind, which is kind of like a small load. And it's whatever's in our conscious mind is actively active in our body and mind. It's active. And so then we've got our subconscious mind, which holds the entirety of our history and all the defaults and all the emotions with it. The mechanism is that things are in your conscious mind and they sink down to your subconscious. And then when you are triggered in some form, or you want to trigger and pull it up, you pull it from your subconscious back into your conscious mind. The conscious mind has a load limit. If you pull far too much stuff up into the conscious mind, or if the trauma happens all of a sudden, or one trauma is of a massive load and it reaches that capacity that the conscious mind can hold, that's when it turns into a big stress on the nervous system. So it's realizing in practice when someone has space in their conscious mind to pull something up to heal it and when they don't. And treatment looks different, because if someone comes in, they're stressed out to their mind, but they've just got to keep going until they get to their goal in survival mode, you don't want to break that survival mode. You want to support that survival mode until they get to their goal, and then they can stop and have space to work through some stuff. So sometimes the right treatment is support. Sometimes it's not going deep. But 80% of the time, there is space. And where you would start is by something that's already active. So you're not actually adding load to the system. It's already sitting there in its activated state. You already have the symptoms from it. So if you're working with that, then you're not pulling more load up into the conscious mind. You're actually resolving and making space of something that's already triggered there. And then That in itself creates capacity and more space in the conscious mind. So when people first start focusing on processing their mental and emotional load, they'll start with everything that's active in their conscious mind, everything they know about. And then they'll work through all of that. And then they'll kind of get to a place of peace and go, wow, I've just cleared all of my stuff. And then time will go on, and then they'll be triggered by something, and they'll be surprised by it because they thought, I just cleared out everything that I had. But what they've only done is cleared out their things that were active. There's an entire load, I don't even know, 100 times, 1,000 times what the conscious mind can hold, filled with emotions, held with memories that can be triggered, essentially. So then it is, then you go searching for these things. So you want to be triggered. You want to see if anything can be triggered, because that's going to pull something deep up that you didn't know about into your conscious mind so you can actually process it. And so that goes on. And it's even a question of, do you get to your end of your life and still have stuff to process? Like, there's that much stuff there. But then I think that's what you would refer to as enlightenment in the spiritual world. If you've reached enlightenment, you have you're completely connected to yourself in utmost purity. You remember what you are before you picked up on emotions and traumas, essentially. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that. And actually, I was reflecting the other day, you know, just like you said, when you bring something up and you're like, oh yeah, I've cleared everything, I'm at peace, it's all done. No, it's not all done, but like there will be more triggers, and it's like peeling back the layers of the onion and understanding that we're never, unless you become enlightened, but we're never fully healed, right? There's always going to be something. So it's I liked what you said about capacity, because in my past I've gone through like 2 years of intense healing, and I'm like, all I've got to do is heal myself, because I'm like, had this perception, oh, I'm broken, I've got like whatever. But actually, no, that's not true. There's always going to be stuff coming up. We're not broken, we're divinely whole anyway. But it's like allowing myself space in between releasing and living and just being present and having joy and knowing that there's going to be stuff coming at times. There's always going to be stress, there's going to be new events that happen that cause stress on our bodies, and but I hadn't actually done any emotional release work for a good solid year, because I was like, I need a break. Like, I actually need a break, and it was nice for myself to know that I'm content where I am right now. I'm allowed to have some space, and I'm allowed to just enjoy life. It doesn't need to be one or the other or all or nothing, but tuning in and trusting when it's time and when I have the capacity, but learning that by releasing the dense layers that are in my body, I now know, and I'm learning to trust myself and tune into the body and know when the time is right and when it isn't.
The thing is,
you know,
you actually don't have to process anything. You can stay the way you are, but it's only when those emotions stored are causing some behavior within you that you don't want and you want to shift it, that's what activates it.
Yes.
So you don't have to do anything you don't want to do.
Yeah.
But when you notice something,
totally,
that's when you want to start doing it. You're not being the person that you want to be. And then so when you do get into a space where you're like, cool, I'm good with who I am, you don't have to do any more processing. It's totally optional. But then down the line, something will pop up that you're not happy about. It might be a way you responded to something, or it might be a way something made you, how it made you feel, and you're like, why am I so sensitive to this? And that's up to you.
And that, and what your values are and how important growth or whatever is, and might not be a big value for some people, and that's cool. But also, for me, it was like, getting sick of my own shit years ago, like getting so sick of my own shit, or getting stuck in the same patterns, or like you said, the reactivity. If I react in a way that doesn't serve me, or it wasn't serving someone else, that's when I've got to go, right, this is time to take responsibility, self-reflect, and be like, I'm part of the fucking problem.
A big one is when something's cycling. So when is happening over and over, and you just get to that point where you've had enough. And that cycling, the quickest way to get out of that cycling is to, yes, process the emotions about it, but also find its purpose. That's the ticket out of cycling. So if this experience, if I am in this experience, what can it teach me? What wisdom am I actually meant to get from this? And as soon as you start connecting into that and you connect with that, the experience no longer needs to, has a purpose. So it just stops.
Yeah, love that. Yeah. And that comes back to self-awareness too, doesn't it? And like, what is this thing, this pattern trying to teach me? You know, say if you, I don't know, whether it be like if you attract unavailable people or something, it's like, where am I, what's the mirror? What's that reflecting to me? Where am I unavailable to me? Or, you know, what do you have to give yourself where you might be neglecting your needs? Or, you know, is that what you're referring to in a way, in a sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So that's, it's just like, an example. What's it been cycling? So it might be grief. It might be loss. It might be that, you know, people leave you all the time. That thing keeps happening and keeps happening. Well, what can I actually, what am I meant to learn about people leaving me? And in this example, it's your perspective. So in this example, it's my perspective that people leave me and it's a negative. That is the thing repeating. Because the reality in life, people leave people all the time and it's normal. And so when you go, okay, everyone's leaving me, what can I learn about this? Okay, well, maybe it's that I have dependency upon people and that maybe I should be more self-independent and not rely on these people and not rely on people, which is actually making you come home to yourself and being a strong unit. Once you do that, your perspective on people leaving you changes. So therefore, no one leaves you again. They're not leaving you. They're coming and going from your life. So now you see it differently. The cycle stops. Yeah.
Different perspective. Yeah. Love that. Great. Thank you for that. That, I think it's good to have, like, I love having real life examples to help understand.
Eastern medicine's all about
these things at times. And so another question I'd like to ask you is, how open do you believe that people have to be if they have a strong belief system about a certain type of medicine? So if they've always gone to the doctor they've always gone to science or not.
Yeah,
or they've
absolutely. Always gone to energy healers. Two examples come in. I have the type of client that comes in and they're only interested in talking about energy in the spiritual plane. And so if that's their understanding, then I work with that understanding and I explain it in those terms. If someone walks in and says, hey, I'm a nurse, which I have often, hey, I'm a nurse, this is my background, this is how I understand the body, can you tell me what's going on in my language? Then I also do that because of the NIM. So I'm working with the nervous system, neuroscience, anatomy, how it's all connected. So, yes, I do that. And same in Eastern medicine, Chinese medicine, people like to talk about the patterns of disharmony. So it's not that a particular medicine is right or wrong. All these medical theories are looking at the same body and they're explaining the same processes. They're just using different words and different understanding. So I'm not making it up to suit their thing. I'm just using the exact same thing that I'm finding, but put it into their terminology, putting it into their words. Does that make sense? The thing is, there are very limiting beliefs come in when there's a competition mindset in medicine. So that competition mindset only allows for one winner. So if I am Western medicine, nothing else can do anything. If I'm energy medicine, they will be like, Western medicine is like BS pretty much. But the reality is that's a reflection of their competition mindset. It's not a reflection of any of the medicines. All the medicines have a time and have a place that they work best in. Some, they all have weaknesses and strengths. And it's just because I work with in the three different medicine types, then I understand that one's not better over the other. It's only just a better time and place for one over the other.
Yeah. That's so important to share, and I'm so happy that you did, because this sort of thing, my intention behind sharing all of this stuff and talking to people like yourself is to be able to find a way where everyone can understand it, no matter what your belief is, no matter what your upbringing has been, no matter what, you know, it's all inclusive and it's all the same end goal as serving and helping people, right? So it's not this person, only this person's going to be affected by it, or it's only going to work for you and not the other person. So yeah, I think it's really great to have that understanding from your perspective around what you do, because you can truly help anybody, and it's having an openness to something that may be a little bit unfamiliar.
What is unfamiliar in this is that I'm not practicing within limitations of a therapy anymore. So I started with Chinese medicine and I worked within the limitations of my education and what I was told to do. Then I did that with NIS too. And the thing that forced me past these barriers and dropped all the boundaries on them was out of sheer necessity to get past my MS. That was the only way. Because when you reach those boundaries, you be a student and you practice all the time, you get to those boundaries and then you're like, then what? Then am I going to learn another therapy and take it to that? And then another therapy and take it to the boundaries? What about if I blew out all the boundaries on all the medicines and used what worked? And that's what I did. I was like, I'm only going to use what works. And what works is I trial it. I then back it up with objective testing. And then it's backed up by results. And then it's backed up by repetition. So that is my education now. I'm unique, or I'm out of the box, because I don't have really a title anymore, because I don't belong within just the limitations of this box. I am all three, you know what I mean? That's where I might seem a bit weird, but when you talk about it and you understand what we've talked about it, you get it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, I just, again, want to thank you so much for everything you've taught me over the years, because there's so much great, with everything that I've experienced, there comes so much gratitude. Like, it's, and like the other night, I was in tears about it, like reflecting on our like journey and together just through life and experiences, but also how you've helped me in my life with everything, and including this, many, many factors of it. It's not one, but it's been incredible. And actually, that brings me to one last question, is how important do you think resonance to a practitioner and trust in a practitioner is going to give you the results that you want, or the ability to let go and surrender to the process?
It's everything. It's everything, because you need to give permission to that practitioner to be able to access your body, the information from your body. So if you do not feel comfortable or safe or trust in a practitioner, you're probably not going to realize, but what you're doing is you're putting up a defense mechanism. You're putting up a boundary between you and them. Now you've gone to them so that they can help you with your body. So if there's that boundary there, they're going to be not connected with you, you know. They will see, if they're a practitioner that has feedback tools with the body, such as, muscle testing or pushing on the body for where soreness is, they're actually utilizing information from the body giving them the information. they'll get a lot more from that than just intellectually healing that person. And that comes down to being completely, we're all individualized cases. So we can do textbook stuff, not read anything from a body, hear about symptoms and put you into a box. And if you do fit into that box, great. But if you don't fit into that box, it's not going to have any effect because it's not a true representation of you. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think another thing I was reflecting on was that I have been to different practitioners for different things over my life, obviously. And I was wondering, like, man, because I trust you and I know you as well, which is, there's that extra layer or level of trust and surrender. And I think, and just knowing that I'm in a safe space with you, and knowing that it's all the intentions are very pure, and I was able to just unlock, like you said, it's an unlocking and an opening and a trusting, that I think that's been a really big shift as well, as I haven't had such profound stuff because there's such deep trust in you and your work and your inner, like who you are as a person and energetically how I feel around you and all of that. So just, yeah, I think that's important to share as well.
Absolutely, because if you don't trust that practitioner as well, you're going to hold back on letting them know information as well. If you have something embarrassing going on, you might miss that out. Or if they ask you about how much you vape, you might tell them differently, you know. But if you really trust that person isn't going to judge you and that they're there for your best interests, you'll tell them the truth. And the thing is that practitioner needs to find your root cause. So if you're missing out elements that are your root cause because you don't trust them, then they might be directed in a whole different part of your body and then might not get to that magic release that you're after.
Yeah, great. Is there anything else that you feel like you want to share that I haven't touched on, or anything else that's come up throughout this conversation?
I think I'm pretty good. I'm excited to, I'm excited for you to, you know, get going on your podcast, and you're very talented and skilled at talking to people. And you're very passionate about health. So I'm excited to watch this space, and I'm very grateful for being able to talk to you on it as well. So thank you.
Thank you. And I'm so proud of you, and I hope you're celebrating the fact that you're doing it, because I feel like a few months ago you would have been like, nah.
Months ago I got asked on a podcast and I laughed and said, no, that's not me. Exactly. And, what I did is essentially, I knew I wanted to, but I had limiting beliefs in the way, and I had a few things to resolve. So essentially I knew I wanted to, I could see the roadblocks, and then I just went about processing the roadblocks. So here I am.
Congrats, celebrating both of us actually. it's, and again, gratitude, can't say it enough, but there's been, you know, I started my podcast in March last year, and I think I've done 5 or something, but it's been quite inconsistent. Like, I'll be like, yeah, I'm inspired, do one. Yeah, I'm inspired, do one. And then life happens and you get, you know, unmotivated, whatever happens, or I'm at capacity with stuff. But actually, like, right back to what you said, it's actually about clearing those limiting beliefs, because really the root of me being inconsistent with it was the limiting beliefs around it. But really now when that's cleared, it's like, no, you be consistent, you keep going, and you trust yourself. That's what that's taught me. So that's been a real blessing. And just to be the intention, like I said before, is just being able to get people like yourself and people that can share knowledge, and knowledge is power, to help other people to not be blocked and to be able to walk forward on their
path. It's not a path that you're being pushed down. It's not like you have to do this. It's a, you actually genuinely from the bottom of your heart want to do something, but there's something in the way. And so to consciously override those roadblocks is so much energy and stress on the body. And obviously not lasting because it puts you back into that space, away from it. So identify what those roadblocks are, clear them, and then just walk your path of least resistance that you actually want to do. You know?
Well, Kate's your girl if you want her to help you access them limiting beliefs, because she's very, very talented at what she does. So actually, I will link in the show notes what the link to your Instagram is and your clinic. So there's Earth Wellness Sumner and then Kate Cooper Medical Intuitive. That's right, isn't it? Yeah, and so I will link all that, and then that way you can contact Kate directly. Otherwise, connect to me and I can connect you to her. I've already connected you. I've already told like everyone I can talk to about you. So that's how great the work is. And I'm just so thankful to have you on this space and speaking to me and being open and willing.
Oh,
and
thanks,
it means a lot to me. Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this episode, hit like and subscribe, or please share it with someone you feel would benefit from hearing it too. My mission is to empower others to be the best version of themselves they can be. The more this content is shared, the more likely it is to help others on their journey. If you're wanting more resources, please head to my website at www.wanakabody.co.nz, where you can find my coaching options, blog, Instagram, and Facebook pages for any other assistance you may need. Last but not least, I want to thank you for showing up, to listen to what I have to share, and most importantly, for showing up for yourself. See you next time.